hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Help me kick off this hour is my good friend Eric Douglas. He is a novelist. He's a scuba diver. He's combined the two things into some quite just an impressive resume of novels over the years. Matter of fact, 10 years now. It's been since the first release of Cayman Cowboys, his first novel, that he kind of jumped in there and combined diving and his love of writing. And has some big news to share with us today. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, Greg. Good to hear from you, pal.
Back at you. Now, this Cayman Cowboys came out 10 years ago, and to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Mike Scott, the character from your books that you've covered in, well, first of all, how many books are there now, right now?
There are five out right now. There's Cayman Cowboys, then Flooding Hollywood, then we went to Guardian's Keep, which was in Italy,
right,
and then Wreck of the Huron, which was North Carolina and Cuba. And then the fifth one just came out earlier this year in 2014 was Heart of the Maya.
Nice. Now, he's like a photojournalist that travels the world and obviously gets wrapped up into some kind of crazy conspiracy or, Russian plot. It's like Bourne Identity and, a scuba diver wrapped into one. I mean, a little bit of James Bond, a little bit. I mean, you've got a little bit of everything going on. But it's cool because
There's been mystics, there's been religions, there's been Russian plots. There was a Russian element in Guardian's Keep. Yeah, we've been all
little terrorism in there. It's just cool because he has all those adventure elements that you would see in a major blockbuster motion picture for the summer. But then he throws scuba diving into it, and it's very vivid pictures he paints because you take literal landmarks and dive sites that people, for instance, from the first one there, Cayman Cowboys, Mike Scott gets in there and he dives these sites off of Sunset House and other places there in Cayman that scuba divers who've been there would be very familiar with, right?
The very first dive you see in Cayman Cowboys is a dive off the Sunset Reef, House Reef, and into down to the Mermaid, the Sunset House Mermaid. So
that's right.
The very first dive that's described in the book.
As it should be the first dive for most people,
I think. As it should, absolutely.
I don't think there's part of, I don't recall any element of Mike Scott going there and doing a little polishing of the statue that a lot of the other divers have done. You know what I'm saying?
There's actually an allusion to that. Mike didn't do it himself, but there's an allusion to the reason why there's two spots on the Mermaid that are always clean.
Yes. And, we've referenced that over the years on Scuba Radio, and it should be documented in written form like you've done. So that's cool. But what's neat about this is that you started in Cayman, you went on to these other places, and for the 10-year anniversary, you're working on a new Mike Scott novel that is going to take him back into Cayman. Is that right,
yeah,
for the 10-year
exactly.
anniversary?
For the 10-year anniversary. Now, technically, the 10-year anniversary of Cayman Cowboys is April of 2015.
Okay.
The first one came out in April of 2005. Mm-hmm. So that's my plan, is to have the sixth novel in the series will be Mike Scott returning to Grand Cayman.
And you're writing this as we speak.
Writing it as we speak. I had to take a break from it, working desperately on it to talk to you right now.
Well, there you go. So I don't know. We'll be either a distraction or inspiration. I'm guessing it'll be the first part. But
I'm thinking a little bit of both.
You think? Well, let me ask you this: what kind of I mean, you can't give away what's in your mind, obviously. But are you going to incorporate some very specific dive sites in Cayman like you did in Cayman Cowboys, you think, or what?
I'm sure I will. I've been there several times and love the island, love diving around the island, and definitely plan to work in some of the things that I've seen, some of the things I've done myself on the back end of the book, just like I did in the first one. We actually talked after the first book about doing a dive Cayman Cowboys trip, do a boat trip and just dive around the island and reenact all the dives we did in the first book.
Sure.
So I'd love to do something like that with the second one, too.
Hey, you could do that. You can write it off, dude.
Absolutely.
That's
all
easy.
About the taxes.
Yeah, man. Well, they don't have those in Cayman, so maybe that doesn't work.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, but I don't live there, and I certainly don't have any money offshore there.
Well, okay. All right, fair enough. But yeah, I don't know. Do you need to go there and get inspiration for this latest endeavor, or do you have enough memories from your days working at Dives Alert Network and traveling the world and doing plenty of diving there in Cayman to fill many, many pages for this new one?
You know, fortunately, I do have pretty good memories. I got a lot of pictures, both topside and underwater, and I've still got some pretty good notes too. Whenever I travel someplace, I always scribble down notes of things that I see. You know, how a place smelled or how it looked or you know that sort of thing to get that feel.
Yeah.
But you know, if a trip came up to Cayman, kind of, I certainly wouldn't turn it down. Let me put it that way. But
right.
I've got a lot of good memories of that place, and I think I can definitely pull another book together.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had the mermaid in the first one. Maybe what you need to do is consider updating it with a new site that they have there now, because they have like a sister statue to the mermaid there in Cayman now. Did you know that?
I did not know
that.
Where's
like,
that at?
Yeah, I think it's off of the... I'm going to totally screw this up, but I think it's off there by the Turtle Farm or Dive Tech off of the West End.
Oh, really?
Is that
okay,
right?
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And it's like a King Triton thing. It's like the male version of the mermaid, like a mermaid. You know, I got taken to task last hour for not having mermen. I mean, even Cayman Islands are jumping on that bandwagon. Maybe I have to finally get with the 90s.
Get with the 90s. But think about your audience. Are they really going to want to see a merman? I mean, really?
Well, evidently Rochelle does. You know, but when I said, are you talking about like a real merman, or you want me or Bill in a mermaid tail? So, no, I don't want that. So there's still some issues we have to resolve to get that every, you know.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It ain't going to happen. I'm not feeling it. But anyway, you know, the thing is, you could incorporate something like that, like a new dive site in Cayman, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to help you.
I appreciate that. No, I can use all that kind of input I can get. It's intriguing, though. I have to work that in. One of the things I'm thinking about is if you've heard, there was a grounding where a cruise ship dropped an anchor,
right,
and tore
yeah.
up some reef.
Yeah,
and that's going to be one of the underlying themes in the book. I'll tell you that
okay.
right now.
All right. Yeah. They just had that, and the local dive operators there in Cayman have actually come together, and they're trying to. I don't know, fix the reef or glue it back together. You know, it's reef restoration.
Clean it up the rubble and try to fix the stuff that's still alive. Yeah. So that's kind of, I always get inspiration for my stories from something I've seen, something I've done, something I've heard about. And I think that's my inspiration at the moment for this story is, how can I work in, so we can talk about, I always like to throw an environmental issue, that sort of thing into the story too. So there will be a little bit of underpinning of restoring the reefs and illegitimate damage to the reef.
Right. Well, you could do that. You got Stingray City. You got the Merman. You got, the Kittiwake. What about that? Was that in the first one? Was that around?
No, it wasn't. They sank it after I wrote the first book. So, no, the Kittiwake's not in the book either.
Yeah.
The first book.
So you could work that into, one of the scenes for Mike Scott to go in there. And you have to have that obligatory wreck dive scene, don't you? It's kind of like pulling from the deep or something. That's just part of an adventure movie. And I keep saying movie, and he writes these books, but they I don't know, they're very vivid in your mind when you read them.
Greg, I'll take that as a compliment.
Well, it is. It's meant that way, for sure, Eric. Come on.
When I write the books, that I see them in my mind, and that's exactly what I envision myself is just like it's a movie.
Yeah, we got to get some of these Hollywood bigwigs to get off their keister and turn some of your books into a real movie. It's way better than a lot of the crap that's out there now. Come on.
Absolutely. I hate going to the movie theater right now. There's some fun movies, but they're all based on comic books. And, I'd like to see some real human beings doing some real stuff. I mean, what we do is pretty super anyway.
Yeah, it's superhuman. We're like superheroes. Say, scuba divers are definitely like superheroes, for sure.
Absolutely.
We have powers. We don't have it. Well, we could get a cape if that'll sell it.
It's kind of dangerous underwater, actually.
Well, maybe he goes back to his time with Divers Alert. Now, we're always thinking dive safety. Yeah, can't get it out of his blood. Booksbyeric.com. Go there and check out more information about all his novels and much, much more. Eric, thank you so much, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Good talking.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterk.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Time now for Scuba Radio's forgotten acronyms in diving history. FADH. Or as we like to call it around here, FAD.
Benevolent Operators Oogling Babes in Erotic Scuba Gear. Boobies.
This has been Forgotten Acronyms in Diving History. FAD. On Scuba Radio.
And we are sorry, as usual. But let's just move on. I got Jerry Beatty on from Dive Training Magazine via the phone right now. Jerry, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Greg. I'm good. It's Saturday. I'm on the water. I'm headed to the marina, and I'm going to go oogle the girls. Just like your lead-in tape, which I love.
Okay, well, I wouldn't use those acronyms. You're just asking for a smack across the face. But I think you know how to handle yourself probably more appropriately.
Wouldn't be the first time, Greg.
Okay. If you're into that kind of thing, whatever. You know, Jerry, you travel the world, and, you know, last time we spoke, we were talking about some stuff going on in the Cayman Islands, and we might as well continue that theme since I was just talking to Eric about his novel that he's working on for release next year to be the 10-year anniversary of Cayman Cowboys. But I know you were over there for the Hall of Fame, the thing that Neil was inducted into, the Hall of Fame there in the Cayman Islands, the Diving Hall of Fame. And let's see, Dan Orr, our buddy, I was talking to Neil about this last week or the week before, but you were actually there in the audience and could witness how this thing went down. And I figured, hey, if anybody could give a little bit more color commentary, it would be my good buddy Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine. Am I right or what?
Oh, Greg, I love it when you call. It was more than just the Hall of Fame. It was a whole week of activities. They called it the Legends and Lions.
The Legends?
Legends, obviously, being the Hall of Fame inductees, and we had some great people.
Yeah.
We had Bill from Manoray Bay out in Yap.
Right.
We had Dan Orr from Dan, Chip Nicklin. I mean, it was just a great lineup of people, and they all brought their own personal entourages.
Right.
But we had a whole week of various lionfish activities, training on how to kill them, how to clean them. But the part I liked the best was how to eat them.
Huh.
And we ate them in about 17 different ways. It was great.
Really? So I didn't know that was connected to this Diving Hall of Fame thing. So it's called the Legends and Lions. And so Legends and Lionfish, obviously. So is that what this has been designed to be from day one, or is that a new thing they did for this year?
Brand new, going to be an annual event. And I got to tell you, there are some packages for that week you should really start looking at. All your listeners should look at. They got some great deals for the week. And the activities are included. You do have to buy a ticket to the Hall of Fame if you want to go, but that includes dinner and drinks.
Right.
So it's really a pretty good deal. But it's a week of just fun. Good diving, great parties at night. One night they rope off a couple of the streets and have a big lionfish dinner on the street. With an open bar,
mm-hmm.
$15, and all the rum you can drink.
Wow. So is this thing that obviously it brings in divers from all over the world, that's the goal, but is locals participating in this as well, I would imagine?
Actually, at the Hall of Fame, we had more locals than tourists.
Okay.
Yeah, the locals were definitely participating in it, and one of the objectives is to teach the locals about the lionfish, and one, to teach them how good it tastes.
Right.
And to make sure they understand that this isn't spearfishing like fishing grouper on the reef. This is eradicating an invasive species.
Yes. Well, eradicating, I think, is a lost cause at this point, but at least keeping them at bay off the main dive sites where you almost create a lionfish free zone where the other marine life in the area have a little reprieve from the lionfish invasion, I think is what most of the marine biologists, what I've heard, are trying to, direct the dive community towards at this point. Is that what you're hearing too, or what?
There's no question. Eradicating is dreaming. I admit to that. The only eradication theory that's out there that I've heard is a lot of the scientists believe because the whole population of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or even millions, came from less than a dozen fish. They believe the DNA makeup on them is so narrow that eventually it's going to fall in on itself and they won't have any protection or any immunity and they'll start to die off.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, yeah, I haven't heard that one, but yeah, I've heard the fact that they have one or two or whatever you said, just a handful, and they do need more lines to be able to sustain themselves over long term. But I hadn't heard that might lead to their demise. That's an interesting idea or theory. I'd like to see that happen, but right now that's definitely not what we're seeing throughout the Caribbean as far as seeing these critters literally on pretty much every dive site you go to now. And I don't know. The theory of knocking them back, though, from the main dive sites, I know our buddy Simon there in Dominica, and obviously they're doing that down there in the Caymans, but setting up a marine reserve or a lionfish-free zone seems to make a lot of sense to me.
It does.
Just when you
it's
think
the only
about.
Solution we have. It's not a solution. It's the only actions that we can be taking To do anything. And one of the things we really want to do is get it on the menu. The more people that eat lionfish, the more are going to enjoy it. Because it
man,
is excellent.
Oh, they are great. I had some lionfish ceviche on my last liveaboard trip. And, man, that was just amazing. That is some of the best tasting fish I have ever had. And am I alone here, or is that what you're experiencing, too, when you're going to these type of events?
I haven't met anybody who eats fish to begin with, eat lionfish, and not go crazy.
Yeah.
It is, you can sashimi it.
Right.
You can fry it. You can bake it. You can grill it. I mean, you cook it any way you want to cook it, and it's going to come out great.
Yeah. Now, are they turning it into a commercial fishery down there in the Caymans? Are you seeing it on any of the local menus on a regular basis? Are they still trying to develop in that market? What do you think?
Well, they're still developing in the market, but yes, you do see it on certain restaurant menus on a regular basis. But Bonaire, you've got several restaurants, and you've got a new one called Ingredients right there at Buddy Dive that serves it every Tuesday and Wednesday, or Tuesday and Thursday nights. So, yeah, it's become a staple on some of the islands.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll continue to do so. I mean, they're fun to catch. It's fun to go get them. And not feel guilty about killing something, in a sense, from if you're, you know, not really into the spearfishing thing. I kind of put it in the category of lobster hunting. You know, I don't feel that it's true spearfishing, per se. It's more like catching lobster. Do you know, you follow me? You feel me on this one, or what?
No, I do. I really do. I mean, you just can't spearfish reef fish anymore. We just don't have the populations that allow for that. But there are species we do have the population. Lobster being regulated correctly is one of them. But I got to tell you, Dive Training Magazine, you cannot believe the letters of protest we get when we put one of our staff killing or holding a dead lionfish. Because people do not understand still how invasive a species it is.
Yes. Well, Jerry, hold the line. Got to take a quick break. We'll come back with more from Jerry Beatty, Dive Training Magazine.
Scuba
Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine is my guest right now. And Jerry, so you're saying a lot of the readers will see you guys running a picture of someone spearing a lionfish, and they're not fans of this. They just think that everything in the sea should be free to do its own thing, and we shouldn't be spearing stuff. And I do. I feel guilty. That's why I'm not so much into the spearfishing thing in general. But with lionfish, it's different. They're not supposed to be there, so I kind of feel we're doing more good than bad, and I don't really have that same, visceral feeling about killing something. You know what I'm saying?
I totally know what you're saying. And we have a continuing battle to get that information out to people. These voracious animals are eating anything and everything off the reef in quantities we've never seen before. And there's got to be something done, and the only thing we have found is exactly that, is to take them off the reef. To get people to take them off the reef, it's encouraging that after they kill them, they can eat them.
That's right. You know, you're not just killing them indiscriminately. You are trying to turn it into a commercial fishery. And look, they are very tasty. They are great. I put them right up there with lobster tail. I mean, they taste good. The thing is, they are very pretty to see underwater. I remember the first couple sightings I saw a lionfish, and I didn't feel that I should go and take them out, because I was like, hey, I've never seen one of these. We're in the Caribbean. We don't get a lionfish like they get out in the Pacific. This is kind of cool seeing them. And then, you know, a year later, I go to a site, you know, I remember diving a site in the Bahamas and looking around and seeing lionfish, and that's all I saw on the entire dive. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? This can't be good. As much as the lionfish look kind of cool, if that's all you see on the dive, you know something's a little bit out of whack.
Well, we left them alone for a couple of years, and now we've got what we've got.
Yes.
When we should have been getting them when they were population much thinner.
Well, it's too late to wipe them out, but we can eat a few and maybe keep them at bay, and everybody will be happy. All right. Well, Jerry, thank you for the update. Always a pleasure, my friend.
You got it, Greg. Talk to you again soon.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Can I help you, boys?
I want to return a fish.
Damn it!
What?
That's the ninth return I've had this week. What's wrong with it? Let me guess. It killed a bunch of people, right?
Yeah, dude.
Damn it. It's just like all the other returns.
Joy to the fishes and the people. Joy to you and me.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. That's Three Dog Night. And by the way, they were performing at the NBAA show in Orlando this week as part of that aviation event. I was working for Just Plane Radio. And somebody who kind of crosses over into both those areas of flying and diving, believe it or not, is the Dive God. And he's on via the web with me right now. Neil, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm so envious you travel and all right. I mean, you got it covered, man. Aviation, boating, diving. Boy.
Well, I had to travel as far as Orlando, where I live, for this one. So, wasn't a lot of world traveling on this one. But it was cool. I mean, they got all these jet planes and seaplanes, a twin otter I saw. I think I found the ultimate dive platform with wings. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, you've probably even flown those things. Have you, Neil?
Yeah, twin otters? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had a twin otter with a... like a marine mural from like Guy Harvey or Weiland painted all over it. It was freaking awesome.
Neat. No, we used to have twin otters. That's the service, the planes that we used to service Walker's Cay.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. So, you know, Neil's a pilot from back in the day. He's done all the stuff. He's the dive god. He's done everything. Neil Watson is a living legend. Similar, you know, to this guy, Bob Hoover, that I had the pleasure of a meeting at the NBAA show. He's kind of like, you know, I was telling Neil before we went on the air, he's like the Neil Watson of the aviation industry.
Oh man, I can't even put myself in that category. This guy is something else.
He is quite unique. He flies planes, turns the engines off at altitude, and then lands them, and it does all kinds of crazy stuff. There's video online, and they had a movie that they were releasing at the NBAA show. But he had a question and answer segment during the event and started telling a story. And I'm watching, you know, him, you know, give his talk. And, you know, he's up there in age. He's older than Neil. And he's lost a little bit of his edge because of that. But his stories came across very similar to how Neil Watson tells a story. And for those of you who've heard Neil on Scuba Radio in the past, know that that is quite a highlight of our 18 years of doing this show.
I'm flattered.
Well, you know, it's just the truth. I speak the truth.
All right, I'll take it.
He's a great storyteller, and he has so many stories to tell, and that's what makes this show so much fun for me. And so anyway, I saw some, you know, similarities between Bob Hoover and Neil Watson.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've landed a plane with the engine off. The difference is I had to change my pants afterwards, and Bob does it intentionally.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they actually showed some videos of him doing some pretty crazy stuff. You know, he was a test pilot, crash landed some stuff. You did that unintentionally. You were like a test pilot by accident.
Yeah, but he never flew a gyrocopter across the ocean.
That's true. And Neil has that world record for doing that from the U.S. to the Bahamas. So, you know, I don't know. You got even way more on him. I bet he hasn't broken 10 bricks with his forehead while they were on fire either doing karate.
He's much smarter than that.
Well, who knows? But, you know, you did have, he said, you know, this happened. I'm hanging with Charles Lindbergh, and he's name-dropping, like, Neil Armstrong and all these guys that you've hung with over the years as well. But the similarity between, you know, we're doing this, and this happened, and we're having some cocktails. And I'm like, wait a minute. There seems to be something about being socially lubricated and hanging out with this group of folk. I don't know. Or maybe that's just how it was back in the day. Or you think?
I know.
Okay, you do. That's what I'm saying.
I resemble that remark.
Well, it's good stuff for sure. And you were telling me, Neil, that you actually did meet Bob Hoover at the Oshkosh Air Show back in the day when they used to bring the Be a Diver pool. Well, that's where the Be a Diver pool started.
Yeah, the Be a Diver pool started there. Actually, it wasn't a Be a Diver pool, and it wasn't affiliated with DEMA. It was the Bahama Diving Association, and actually, Dive Training Magazine came up with this brainstorm over cocktails. Believe it or not,
of course,
about how cool it would be to put a above ground pool at this huge air show at Oshkosh. And show people how to dive. So we talked the Ministry of Tourism into funding this. I was working with Jean-Michel on a project in the Bahamas at the time. And
yeah, Jean-Michel Cousteau,
Yeah, Cousteau, and convinced him to come, you know, to the Oshkosh event with the pool. And actually, Jean-Michel Cousteau and I were standing by the pool one day, and there's this guy kind of walking straight towards us, and his eyes are the size of saucers, and he's just staring at us, and you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, here's a Jean-Michel Cousteau groupie, but then again, he may know Neil Watson, he may...
He's a dive guy.
Yeah, hell yeah, I'm a dive guy. So he keeps walking and walking and walking, and I figured, well, probably Jean-Michel. He walks straight between us, and the pool was right behind us, and the local weatherman was in the pool doing like a resort course and doing the weather report, and this guy didn't have a clue who we were. You know, he was enamored by the weather, the local weatherman.
By Bob the weather guy was his...
Bob the weather guy upstage just mad. It was a reality check, you know?
Okay, but that wasn't Bob Hoover. That was just the weather guy.
It wasn't Bob Hoover. It was just a weather guy. No, but Bob Hoover was at the show as well. Mm-hmm. And Jean-Michel and I saw this line, literally, a quarter of a mile long, figuring, what on earth could this be? So we you know, follow the crowd up to where the line ended, and here was this guy Bob Hoover, you know, signing autographs and getting his photo thing, and Jean-Michel says, man, this guy rocks. I mean, where's my line?
Yeah.
He says, I've never drawn a crowd like this, and you know, it was, I mean, this guy is, I mean, in the aviation, he walks on water.
Walks
on clouds, I guess.
That'd probably be more appropriate. Yeah, he is. He's a rock star. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, outside the aviation industry, if you're not familiar with that group, you may not know who Bob Hoover is. But trust me, you Google him or type it in, Bob Hoover on YouTube, there's all kinds of crazy videos.
And as a pilot, he did a demo, you know, at the air show.
Yeah.
And he defies gravity and logic. I mean, literally, with an old Aero Commander that is not exactly an aerobatic airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy just does things that is impossible.
Yeah, I saw some video that looked kind of strange, and they had a new documentary that was released at the air show last week about him and what he's done for aviation over the years. And Harrison Ford is one of the narrators of this thing, and they show Harrison Ford and him sitting down at a table, and you see Harrison Ford almost kind of melt, like, oh my god, I'm sitting next to Bob Hoover. So yeah, he's even making movie stars drool or something. I don't know, it's kind of crazy, but cool stuff indeed. And as far as I don't know, we got to get the Be a Diver pool back there at Oshkosh at the Air Venture show. That was a great start. I don't know. We need to bring it back there, I think. They got like 100,000 people that show up at this thing over a week. That's would be a great outlet for the Be a Diver pool today.
It was absolutely amazing when we took it that first time. Mm-hmm. If somebody had given me $1 million and said, Neil, I want you to really get a major presence here at this show.
Yeah.
If it had been anything in aviation, you couldn't have done it. I mean, you have astronauts walking around and you know, the Concorde at the time. And, I mean, it just, this pool, I mean, we were on the news every morning. We were on the news in the evening. It was so unique and different that it just captured everybody's attention. And there's such a crossover between divers and pilots.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of pilots that are divers certified is very, very high, and vice versa. So it was the perfect venue, and of course the Bahamas, what better place for a pilot diver to go, you know, with 700 islands and all of them, you know, accessible in a light plane with short distances to fly.
Yeah.
So it was a tremendous success.
Well, I've always wondered, and I was talking about this earlier with Dennis, about that Twin Otter, or whether it's a Twin Otter or a Grand Caravan, or there's this other Kodiak plane that I thought if you put that on floats, that would be an ideal seaplane option. But to take something like that over through the Bahamas and just dive around the island off of a seaplane, has anyone ever done that in the past through the Caribbean or Bahamas that you're aware of, or no?
You know, a buddy of mine that had a lot more money than me, we were looking into to modifying a PBY, which is the one Gusteau used to have, Jean-Michel's brother. What the heck's his name?
Philippe.
Anyhow. Philippe, yeah. But we were looking into modifying it, a flying liveaboard, flying into exotic remote destinations, just anchoring out, diving. The numbers didn't work, obviously.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> There's a whole thing about fuel and flying after diving. I don't know. There has to be a way to make it work.
Well, no. Flying after diving isn't a problem because, I mean, you're in a seaplane. You can fly at 200 feet. That eliminates that problem.
Well, there you go. All right. We'll come up with a solution and talk more about it next with the Dive Guide. Stay close.
Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Mr. Hammond, take your down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
Aye, sir. Chief of the watch, sound the dive alarm. Pass the word along to 1MC. The main ballast tank fins.
Aye, sir. Passing the word.
I want to feel alive, no way to drive, so I can dive. I want to dive today. I want to dive today. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's bad.
I want to dive today. I want to dive today. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Look, they all can't be winners, so you get what you get here on Scuba Radio, and we do the best we can. So I'll just say I'm sorry. And continue on with the Dive God, who is on via the web with us right now. So setting up a seaplane to cruise through the Bahamas, the numbers just wouldn't work as far as making that a commercial operation. So you'd have to stick to just making it an option for a wealthy flying
Well, no, I mean, not so much. Well, not as a live aboard. But then again, you could do. Years ago, the Bahama Diving Association did this fam trip, and we invited like 15 of the top wholesalers, dive wholesalers, and then we ran a party type deal or a win this trip of a lifetime,
right,
for a couple to travel on this trip. And we chartered a vintage DC-3. This thing was set up, you know, with the Time magazines in the back, and the stewardess was in the same uniforms and all that.
Nice.
So we chartered this DC-3, and we did 10 islands in 10 days. And you know, I've been in the Bahamas for 50 years now, and it was amazing for me, the diversity. And you know, you can low altitudes, you can fly, land, do some dives, stay at one resort one night, get up in the morning, fly to another island, dive, stay the night. Da-da-da-da. We did this 10 islands in 10 days.
Nice.
Skin Diver Magazine was following it and did, you know, a feature on it. And I mean, for the people that won this trip, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, Stuart Cove was one of the guest celebrities on the trip, and myself, and you know, there was some of the top photojournalists, you know, covering it. So it was amazing, and it was just the only problem was everybody wanted to buy the 10 island in 10 day trip, and there's no such a thing. So.
Yeah,
but for a private pilot, there is. I mean, a private pilot can take his airplane and do an island a day for 10 days, for 20 days, never run out of islands.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. These private pilots do fly out from Florida and go do a bunch of island hopping through the Caribbean and the Bahamas, wherever. But, you know, I'm just thinking and taking it a step further. I think actually being able to fly one of these seaplanes and actually anchor it right there on the dive site would be one of the coolest things you could ever do. And literally dive right out of your plane and make it even a day trip where you could kind of fly around to some unique sites and things like that. I don't know. I just wonder if anyone's actually looked at that possibility, or just would be price prohibitive, or it's more of a thing like you know, Jimmy Buffett might do it when he was back diving back in the day. He's doing that with his fishing things
I guess. I mean, Stuart Cove, he has a little had a little float plane, and
yeah,
he used to do that just for his own personal, you know, pleasure.
All right, so I just got to suck up to Stuart.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool stuff indeed. I don't know. Something to add to the list, Neil. We got to figure out if we can make those numbers work somehow.
Hey, you're in aviation, you're in boating, you're in diving, man. Let's put this together.
I just got to get
You're the contact man.
Well, they're willing to sell me the plane for just under $8 million. I might be able to knock off $100 or so with a free Scuba Radio T-shirt or hat or something. But
let's close on this.
Come on. All right. Well, okay. We'll hold our breath, which we're not supposed to when we're divers. So anyway, whatever. Let's talk about some other stuff, because we are getting ready to come into the fall season, or as things cool down just a tad here through the Caribbean. This is when hammerheads start showing up in Bimini, right?
Yes, sir.
And why is that? We still haven't figured out why these hammerheads,
you know,
start cruising.
I've asked them, and I just pray they keep doing it, because you know it's a sellout for us, and we're kind of at the mercy of them deciding to come back every year, you know.
But, yeah,
and it's 3 months, and it's like one day they just say, okay, dude, let's move on here. Here's our itinerary, and it says we have to leave today, and they go. I'm not sure why, but they're showing up a little earlier and they're staying a little longer. And I've offered them some big perks to stay year-round, but we haven't closed the deal yet.
You haven't figured out how to...
No. And if I can convince them to be there 12 months out of the year, we can look back into that airplane again.
Exactly. I'm hip. And these are great hammerheads. So these aren't necessarily big schooling hammerheads, but these are
massive. No, these
aren't
the scallop. These are the big guys. These guys are 14, 16 feet. Just awesome.
Yeah,
just awesome animals.
Very unique to see these anywhere on a regular basis, but for some reason they're coming into Bimini in the fall and winter months and just kind of hanging out. And you don't know if they're breeding or feeding or a little bit of both.
The Shark Lab is doing some tagging and tracking and trying to figure out where they're coming from and where mm-hmm. they're going to, but they haven't figured it out yet. But the beauty is, I mean, it's not like they're out on the wall, which is the only place I used to see them,
right.
You know, when I lived in Bimini. I mean, they're right out in front of the hotel in 20 feet of water, you know, in a white sand bottom and incredible visibility and unlimited bottom time. So it's absolutely the perfect scenario for underwater photographers or for anybody that wants to see an animal that they could dive for 50 years and never see one, you know, under normal circumstances.
Well, that's right. If they watch Shark Week, they'll know they can go out there and maybe run into old Hitler. That's a whole nother story, a whole nother argument, and a whole nother level of BS we're not going to delve into today. NeilWatson.com. Go there. You can book a trip to Bimini or many of the other fine operations he handles throughout the Caribbean. Neil, always.
Or buy me a drink. You know,
just buy him a drink. Why not? Yes. It's an honor to have Neil as a friend and be able to talk to the dive god like we do. Is quite a treat. So hopefully you enjoyed that as much as I have today. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better where, Neil?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.